Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to the NWSL Challenge Cup final recap on Attacking Third. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. Thank you all so much for joining us live. Be sure to hit subscribe so that you never miss a moment whenever we go live. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Attacking Third for so much more. We have to get into this Challenge Cup final, a 2-1 victory for North Carolina Courage, naming them Challenge Cup champions. We want to start off this episode by sending our best wishes to Jordan Baggett, who exited the match in stoppage time on a stretcher. A very, very haunting moment in the game, and we will talk about that a little bit towards the later stage of this episode. But we've got a 2-1 victory for the Courage. Goals from Geroline, an own goal by Taylor Eimer, and Ashley Hatch also getting on the board for the Spirit. Geroline named MVP in the Challenge Cup final. Lots to get into here. Lisa, we did a pregame show with Lori Lindsay about this match here. And we talked a little bit about a number of things. We talked about general keys to the match. We talked about potential key players, wildcard players that we were going to look for to have an impact in this game. And I want to say that it delivered in the first half. And then in the second half, we just got some real chaos, and it's kind of left the feeling a certain type of way.
Yeah,
and
it was definitely a challenge.
I had to put my hat on for the recap. I went hatless for the preview. I had to put my hat on for the recap because I just didn't want anyone to see the like steam of rage rising off of my head. I was a little upset with how things played out in this second half. I really, really feel for the players on both sides of the pitch in this one. But I think that's how we got to break it down a little bit in this recap. We got to go half one and half two. So let's take a look at kickoff here. We reacted in the preview towards the starting 11s in this one. We didn't feel like there were too many surprises, but we were excited about the chance to see some new faces, get more time on the Courage side of the ball, and we were excited to sort of see this trio that we've been talking so much about in Rodman, Hatch, and Sanchez. When the whistle kicked off everything, Lisa, what was sort of settling in for you? Because it was a wild kind of end-to-end opening 10 minutes here.
That is the perfect way to describe it. Wild opening a few minutes of this match. And yeah, we did talk about the starting lineups. And with Lori Lindsay, we discussed the matchups between the wingers for Washington and the outside backs. And it was Trinity Rodman going up against Carson Pickett and Anna Helferty against Merritt Mathias. And that was the matchup that I texted both you and Lori right in the first 5 minutes of this match. Yeah. And I was like, it's Rodman against Pickett. We talked about that 1v1 battle. And if Rodman wasn't on the side with Pickett, would they make changes? Would that happen? But that's how it lined up. And if you listen to the broadcast on CBS, you could hear Allie Wagner giving great insight into the fact that when Trinity Rodman is on the right side of the field, she gets assists. When she's on the left side of the field, she scores goals. And this is a match that Chris Ward wanted goals from her, and he wanted to see different things from her. But I really loved this 1v1 battle between these two, and Carson Pickett won out this battle against Rodman, especially in the first 10 to 15 minutes. I was nervous about watching Washington. They looked asleep. They couldn't build out of the back. Aubrey Bledsoe was looking goalkeeper for Washington was looking to go with quick transition and get the start, trying to find Rodman on those outlet passes when she did get the ball and wasn't connecting. They weren't on the same page by any means. And because of that, North Carolina kept winning the ball. It's so much possession in those first 10 to 15 minutes. And it showed. It resulted in a goal too, of course. But that's really my first takeaway, was it that North Carolina came to play. You could feel field advantage vibes. And Washington was a half step behind. Their midfielders were just a step too slow. They couldn't connect on their passes. And Washington could not build out of the back with Caroline pressing so high against them. It was a big detriment to the first 15 minutes of this match.
I'm with you 100%. I just, there was something about this courage side, is when that first whistle went off, you just saw this in sort of look in their either body language. They just really just hit their foot on the pedal and really didn't let up, quite frankly, for at least 20 to 30 minutes of that opening half. Lisa, shout out to you, you know, looking at Caroline as this player to have an impact in the game, going on to win the MVP honors. But gosh, maybe we could talk a little bit about how that opening goal and just taking 11 minutes to happen. And for me, I was looking at action out on the flank. I was looking at this fullback position for the Courage specifically. I thought they had way more depth there to be able to kind of go toe-to-toe alongside that attack of the Spirit. And we see Dabinha win this ball, just zoom past Kelly O'Hara, just completely beats her defender, gets in an open space, connects with Caroline, and Caroline getting her first Challenge Cup goal here. And it was spectacular. It was beautiful to see. And you just sort of, it was a certain type of energy that sort of came with that goal that gets scored, not just only that early in the match, right? But just sort of the fact that you've got some new players that are still kind of getting their footing, A, in this league, and B, specifically with the North Carolina Courage. It was lovely to see. And just sort of coming and seeing that happen so quickly off of what was almost an opportunity for the Spirit. So you just see Sanchez connecting Rodman and Hatch, and there was a save there. And then just a minute later, boom, when we talked about this coming down to being a transitional game. Sean Nahas also mentioned that, saying that really felt the game was going to come down to moments of transition. And we saw that in this opening goal. And I think once they got that breakthrough, it was early enough to where you just keep chasing and chasing. And we saw this kind of prototypical, you know, attack you in waves type of mentality from the Courage. And they didn't let up for about a half hour there. It was very impressive.
That's what I talked about in the pregame. It was, if North Carolina could control the transition and be patient in the buildup when they needed to, but then look to quickly attack. And they did a tremendous job at that. And it started because their high press was so high. We are looking at this opening first half, because ultimately these teams go into halftime 1-1 because Washington is able to get an equalizer. But the opening goal from North Carolina and Caroline, she gets her first NWSL goal. And this was a very good goal. And it's so perfect that the assist came from Dabinha. Like, that's so perfect. We couldn't have drawn that up any better. And I think everyone across the NWSL was saying that these two are so lethal together. And now the fact that we're seeing the combination play and it's coming into different parts and pieces of the NWSL, it is so, so crucial. And then North Carolina kept attacking. They did not change anything in their mentality. It was, let's keep going, let's do the same thing. Aubrey Bledsoe, minutes later, coming up with a huge block. It wasn't necessarily a save. She just got her body so big and was able to redirect the ball with her hand. And North Carolina ends up picking up the rebound and continuing possession. That's the craziest thing, that no matter how many times Washington attempted to stop North Carolina, the Courage were on the second ball and they retained possession of it. Coming down to the goal that ultimately happened for Washington Spirit and Ashley Hatch, I mean, this combination play, we talked about Caroline and Dabinha, it's the combination from Trinity Rodman to Ashley Hatch. And this replay is fantastic. I know our incredible social media gal, Sydney, she put it out on our Twitter at Attacking Third. The highlights are on YouTube at Attacking Third. But this goal from Ashley Hatch and the combination from Trinity Rodman is really impressive, because Rodman, she cuts back into the midfield, she receives the ball, and she has pressure on her, but she's so calm under pressure that she takes two touches, one touch to control it and keep the ball moving. And the second touch, a beautiful slip pass between the defenders to find Ashley Hatch. On the replay, they show a vantage point from North Carolina's goal. And you can see Ashley Hatch waiting. She's like revving up her legs, almost running in place, waiting for that ball to be played through. And as soon as it's played, she takes a step and she's in behind the back line. Like, that is picture perfect coaching by Ashley Hatch to do that. It was a really good timed ball by Trinity Rodman. And then Washington gets on the board, but it took until that goal for momentum to switch into Washington Spirit's favor, because Spirit was just giving away the ball. They couldn't retain possession of it. And North Carolina looked to be the better team, especially in the first 20-25 minutes of this match.
Absolutely. I just, you know, watching that equalizer come by way of Ashley Hatch, we got to talk about these moments when we're going to in this match, but there were moments here in this match where you just sort of felt like, oh, is this going to be one of these things that kind of stains this final? But we're talking about an equalizer goal that comes from the Spirit by way of Ashley Hatch. And minutes before that, I want to just backtrack a little bit. We enter this half hour mark. The Courage are still kind of relentless in their attack a little bit. And the Spirit, for their credit, just, you know, they had most of the ball, but they just weren't able to sort of get these higher shot numbers as compared to a team like the Courage. But they were level by halftime in terms of actual attempts on targets, splitting that for a piece. And when we're looking at this half hour mark of the game specifically, we have a moment where Gerolyn causing a lot of trouble for backlines here. Emily Sonnet really kind of forced to try to mark her and make things difficult for the Brazilian international. But there's a moment where there's a questionable handball in the box by Sonnet. Uh-huh. And this is a call that doesn't get made. And this is perhaps just the first instance in this game alone that can perhaps get into a player's head or get into the coaching staff's head on the sideline and kind of, you know, leave a little bit of an imprint on the remainder of the game. And you have 2 minutes later after that no goal and the 35th minute, you have the equalizer by the Spirit in Hatch. It just, there were trends in this game, unfortunately, that were not good trends, that we should say, not ones that I think we're proud of coming on this show to talk about. And that was one of those moments. And when that happens, Lisa, it's like, you know, you hit the reset button a little bit. It's level now. It's almost, it might as well be 0-0 again at this point. But we saw a little bit more of continued end-to-end in that half. Emily Gray at one point almost getting a chance for the Courage to extend the lead for them once more before halftime. But all level, 1-1 as these two went into the halftime. I think maybe take a pause here for a moment to talk about it. Anything out of that first half in particular, Lisa, that you saw that maybe you were like, maybe we'll see a change here in the second half from either side? Did anything stick out? Were you looking for an adjustment?
Not in particular, because it was really pretty even throughout that first half in terms of how it ended, but I wanted to see changes from Washington's side to be able to control possession and to be able to have a little bit more understanding of where they were on the pitch, because stat-wise, North Carolina controlled that first half. Shots, 15 for the Courage, 5 for Washington throughout that match. Dabinia had the shot off the post for North Carolina in that first half. And the possession, although, was pretty even by the end of that, 46% to North Carolina and 53% to Washington. But for Washington, they weren't keeping the ball well enough, frankly, and their passing just wasn't good enough in that first half. And they needed to control more of the ball and control the tempo of it. And honestly, it was lacking Andy Sullivan in the midfield. And I know she hasn't played for Washington for a number of matches. She's coming back from a bit of an injury. And the other midfielders have stepped up and done a tremendous job, whether it's Dorian Bailey or Taylor Ulmer in that midfield. But they were missing the presence of Andy Sullivan in that first half as someone who can reign in a game completely, receive the ball, switch the point of attack, and go from there. For North Carolina, they needed to continue doing what they were doing, get the ball to Caroline, get the ball to Dabinia, pick off the passes from Washington Spirit, and just sail right through to the second half. If anything, give a little bit more confidence to Berkeley, players like Gray and Berkeley and Ordonez, who were rookies and had tough moments. I mean, we saw Gray get a number of shots, but you got to put those away, Gray. You got to put them on frame at least.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's a great point that you bring up about somebody like an Andy Sullivan. And yes, soccer is a team sport. I think both in agreement that we're not going to come on here and say that it comes down to one player, but we kind of saw that a little bit. It was almost like an Andy Sullivan sized hole in that midfield for the Spirit, and compared, you know, going up to the box that we see that North Carolina typically presents, it was a tough day. And then we saw somebody like Denise O'Sullivan just really kind of keep some players in her pocket throughout early parts and stretches of that first half. But I'm with you in terms of having this moment in the halftime and wondering if there were going to be any immediate adjustments in the second half. And it was something that I was thinking about just because we knew going into this game that there were two teams battling out for a Challenge Cup on short rest. It was a quick turnaround for both of these teams. So I was a little curious as to if maybe those adjustments were going to come earlier in a game like this, coming directly out of a halftime scenario, or if we were going to see something more towards the hour mark, perhaps, which I think we were also keeping an eye on to see if there was going to be some fatigue settling in or heavy legs for either team on this day. So when we got to the second half here, a little bit of set piece play, I think, to start off this second half. We had the Spirit winning a corner pretty early on, a couple minutes into the second half. And then we get some more questionable things taking place in this match in terms of corners being won. Just past the 50th minute or so, we saw Caroline doing what she has been doing throughout this game, on the ball, into the box, and a terrible, terrible, terrible tackle by Staub on Caroline, connecting all ankle, as we all saw on the replay, by several different angles, grabbing the ankle. And that was tough to watch on the replay. I think at one point I was like, ouch, I feel that in my own ankle. And that looked as bad as it did, quite frankly, because we saw the reaction from this player in terms of, the pain that she felt having to, and then had to exit the match due to that. But tough, Lisa. I want to ask you on this moment of the game in particular, just give me the defender's, perspective or mentality or angle of this. You see a player making this type of run into the box. What's behind that decision there?
I cannot speak to what Sam Staub was going through her head. When you watch this replay, Caroline gets in front of Staub, and Staub is now behind the ball, behind the player, inside the 18-yard box. Staub got beat. And at different points and locations on the field, there are different ways that you play this out. Being so close to the goal and having a player like Caroline that's ready to shoot, what it looked like, Sam Staub decided, I need to go for the slide tackle. And instead of curling around the outside of Caroline's body to come in almost perpendicular to Caroline to get the ball, she came parallel with Caroline, and instead of going around the side of her, maybe she went straight through her legs because she was so far behind her. And from Caroline's perspective, she did a fantastic job to beat the defender. And as an attacker with the ball, once you beat the defender, your first step needs to be cutting in to cut off that defender. That way they are now on your back shoulder and not next to you, just behind you. So Caroline did that fantastically. Yeah. As a defender, Staub got beat. She needs to recover near post at that point, because no matter where this was on the field, it should have been a red card. No matter where it was on the field, it should have been a red card. Staub is the last defender back at this point. It was clear taking out of Caroline's legs and then an afterthought of getting the ball. This was a horrible, dirty tackle and a missed call.
I wonder if just the combination of the timing of all this, again, we talked about the hour mark specifically that we're going to be paying attention to, but the combination of the time timestamp in the match, you know, coupled with the fact that it was a quick turnaround, we could see the heavy legs kind of settling in, but also this added component of the courage. We're kind of on that front foot again towards this hour mark. We're talking about, you know, Caroline getting, you know, a shot off just before this moment in the game. My God, there was this incredible link up between Debinha dribbling and cutting into the box, laying off a ball for Ordóñez, who was just in the right place in the right time and absolutely mistimed a tap in. You know, so you're talking about these moments again. We're starting to see from the courage these little bits of waves of pressure and attack. And I'm wondering if all of those things combined together just sort of led to this very tough moment in the box between Staub and Caroline. Unfortunately, it was a type of tackle that took this player out of the game, had to make a substitution here. And this sets up ultimately a set piece for the courage. So a set piece came out of this. And all of a sudden, you
had a corner kick. There's no foul called. There was a yellow card given on this.
But that was for dissent, wasn't it?
Merritt Mathias received a yellow for talking to the referee about this call. There was ultimately no call made and the ball went out of bounds. And as Caroline is on the end line recovering with the trainer, there's a corner kick being played by Carson Pickett.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Carson Pickett coming into this game, getting the start, having to battle her way back from some injuries concerns early on in this year, having a ridiculous game for the courage and delivering this corner kick for them. It forces ultimately an own goal. Looking back at some of the highlights of this goal, you have a big target in the box and somebody like Diana Ordóñez. We could see that ball with precision from Pickett heading into that area. And there's just enough bodies and turbulence happening in this moment that it ends up being an own goal, credited to Taylor Almer off of that set piece there. But unfortunately, we have another chaotic moment just off of seeing Caroline get substituted out of this game or make an exit to the side of the pitch. Aubrey Kingsbury goes down in this moment after having contact with the post and trying to make a play on this ball. It was another scary moment in just a consecutive minutes, one after the other.
I think contact is putting it lightly. This is like, as a goalkeeper, this would be my worst fear, because as Aubrey Kingsbury goes up for the ball, she gets sandwiched between players, and it's when she's down and landing that her head gets smushed between the post and a player's leg. And it was no foul, right, against, I believe it was Ordóñez, but there was no foul against there in that type of situation. It's just bodies colliding. And as Kingsbury is falling, her head smacks against the post. So many like scary moments would made my stomach turn. And that was one of them, seeing her immediately grabbing her head. You could see her teammates surrounding her, making sure that her head was okay, because they could see it happen. I'm sure you could hear it, because those posts are hollow and they make a very loud sound when you hit them. And immediately it was the training staff running onto the pitch, because that's a head injury and that's incredibly dangerous. Before that happened, though, it was a good goal by North Carolina. I mean, and I'm only saying that because Kingsbury was fine. She ended up playing the rest of the game. I hope she is okay. I'm sure they're going to do a concussion protocol and make sure she is all right. But Ordóñez is getting up, making contact with the ball, and then sending it back into a dangerous area that results in a goal, all while Caroline is still on the end line receiving treatment, walking back. She starts celebrating after this goal happens, but it was consecutive dangerous plays back to back to back in the second half, really the second half of the second half. It's took a turn for the worst in this game.
Yeah, I think right after the courage, you know, go up and get that go-ahead goal, and it's 2-1 in the 70th minute at this point. It's just, you're wondering if maybe there's enough here in these final 20 minutes to just sort of, maybe we're going to see a bit to end, you know, and just in an effort for both of these teams, one side try to lock things down or the opposition, in this case, the Spirit, try to get another one back. You know, these are two teams that played each other already two times prior in Challenge Cup group stage. Probably wouldn't have been shocked if maybe it would have ended in regulation in some type of a draw. Although I remember you and I on our preview, we said we don't want that to happen. We want to see a winner. But unfortunately, that just didn't happen. Again, we have minutes later, we see a moment between Abby Erceg and Ashley Hatch, two players looking at a 50-50 ball. Hatch's cleats connecting with Abby Erceg's. It looks like the side or the rib area there. You have the captain of the Courage now down on the pitch. Again, yeah. It sort of felt like moment after moment after moment. There was something new. There was another player on the pitch. It was a tough scene, quite frankly.
There's so many different reasons why all these fouls happened consecutively, and they were talking about them on the broadcast, but I think it's important to bring light to it that for these teams, it was their third match in 8 days, 9 days or so, 8 for one team, 9 for the other. And these players are fatigued. When you look at North Carolina, they had their back line was playing majority of these minutes. Kaylee Kurtz, Abby Erceg, Denise O'Sullivan, they played every single minute throughout the Challenge Cup. And then the same when you look at Washington Spirit, these players played a lot of minutes. And not only are your bodies fatigued, but mentally, that's incredibly exhausting. And then the stoppage of plays due to the injuries and the bad tackles give a nice break and a mental lapse for players that so many times they're keyed in, and that's the captain's job to say, hey, we got to stay focused. This is where we regroup right now in the stoppage time and these pause moments where we get to come together. But everyone was so fatigued physically and mentally and emotionally that after those stoppages, it kept getting worse, because then we see sloppy tackles because players are out of position, because they're tired, because they've played consecutive games with a regular season, a semifinal, and then this final. It was dangerous to see. It was scary to watch because you weren't really sure what was around the next corner. I mean, even watching Abby Erceg get hit pretty hard, cleats to the ribs.
Yeah. I mean, and I think at that moment, too, if you look back at it, you see both players just like they're looking at this ball that was like lobbed up. You've got two players just trying to meet at the same place, and it just was one of these unfortunate things that occurred. I don't think there was anything malicious there kind of on either side, but it just these constant occurrences and these stoppages of play that were occurring in the final 20 to 15 minutes of regulation here was, I think it was a tough kind of end product to sort of see on the broadcast. And I really did feel for this. I'm so glad you brought that up, because we were talking a little bit about that ahead of this game. You and I were chatting a little bit about that off mic, that's a big, big ask of these players to go ahead and play an incredibly highly competitive match, to compete for a title on a quick turnaround, on short rest. And, some of these players
with travel
have extra travel on their legs.
This wasn't at a neutral location for the semifinals and the final. There was travel involved. I mean,
absolutely. It was tough to see. And I just, you could sort of see like the way it was playing out, that it was going to probably end in a bit more of a grinder than it was going to be in this sort of, high, sophisticated, quick end-to-end type of soccer. And it's just unfortunate a little bit to sort of see this here. And we're obviously building up and talking about some of these occurrences. We have a moment to unfortunately close out the game. There's, because of the prior injuries and stoppage of play that took place in these kind of final 15 to 20 minutes of the match, we saw extended stoppage time in this one. And when you have lengthy amounts of stoppage time in this one, it can maybe lead to more chaotic type of moments on the pitch. Unfortunately. Yeah. So we're seeing, we saw late substitutions happen, the Courage bringing on Speck, bringing on Daniels. And this one, you're looking at the time to perhaps lock things in. Taylor Smith getting a run out there, maybe lock things in, run down the opposition a little bit. And unfortunately, a substitution in a stoppage time with Jordan Begay coming in and replacing Audrey Harding during this stoppage time moment. And just minutes later, off of an attempt to make, you know, a bit of a clearance, you had two players in Baggett and Dabinia going after a ball. Again, tough collision that occurs. And what I saw on the broadcast was just just a stillness from Baggett on the pitch. And you saw, I think, the body language and the reaction from the players in this moment, I think, was enough to tell the viewership of this game everything that you needed to know, that it was a very scary moment on the pitch. You have players immediately screaming for EMTs to come on into the match with a card. You have coaches on the sidelines. You have a home crowd in North Carolina screaming faster for EMTs to get a cart ready for this player. It was absolutely horrific scenes to sort of close out this match. And we hope that Jordan Baggett has a quick recovery and that the next update that everyone gets will be a good update on this player.
Yes, it was devastating, scary to watch. And my prayers and my thoughts are with Jordan and Washington Spirit. But I think the reaction from not only Washington Spirit players, but North Carolina players, North Carolina fans and coaches immediately looking to help Jordan Baggett on the ground in whatever way they could, whether that was yelling for a stretcher, Washington Spirit players actually running over to where the ambulance was to help the EMT run with the stretcher back across the pitch. They had just played 90 minutes and there they are running across the pitch to help their teammate because they know that that's what she needs. Truly devastating. And of course, our thoughts are with her. The one thing that when she was on the stretcher being carted off the field, she was smiling. She had her head up and she did crack a smile. So I don't know what that means, but when you see a player on a stretcher, it's never good. If they crack a smile, your heart breaks and feels for them a little bit more, but devastating to see. And then there was still time left to play in that game. And that injury took my breath away and made me very upset. And I couldn't imagine as a player, we saw some of the looks on the players' faces, just truly devastated and heartbroken for their teammate, for their opponent. And then to go and continue to play more minutes. But you could see from Washington Spirit, it was, let's go play this for Jordan. Let's do this and get this win for Jordan.
Yeah, it was a tough moment to watch that and see that play out. That moment happening in stoppage time, it's something the other thing that goes in the back of your mind, you're like, God, there's going to be more time added on at least the officials' watch, taking everything into consideration here that's happening on the pitch. It was just not, I think, a way that anyone wanted this game to end. I feel for the entire Washington Spirit players who happened to be out on the pitch in that moment. It is deeply disturbing, quite frankly, the image of players having to rush over and assist in that moment. And it is, quite frankly, really tough for us to sit here and react to that ourselves, because we're both just two people. We're humans, and we're also, you know, people with, you know, brains and hearts and thoughts and feelings. And it was tough to watch that. And it took a second to hop on here to be able to speak about this in a bit of a coherent manner versus just high energy or high emotion or otherwise. There's a lot of things here within this match, I think, that are unfortunately overshadowing some other things within it. I mean, ultimately the game concludes in regulation, and the North Carolina Courage win their first ever Challenge Cup for their club. Caroline gets MVP status, and
North Carolina becomes the most winningest club in the NWSL. Their first NWSL Challenge Cup championship, title, but seventh overall.
They're racking them up, quite frankly. Adding it to the trophy case, but it's also, I think, a little bit symbolic, I think, for this franchise and some of those players. I mean, they went through what can only be described as, you know, an agonizing 2021 with the termination of their coach last year, you know, near end of season, needing a little bit of help to get into the playoffs based on some other results, and the players having to carry a lot of that, all of the sort of negative headlines with them throughout the remainder of the season. So to sort of see these players put together this Challenge Cup run that they did, I would imagine that it has to feel like perhaps a bit of a breath of fresh air and perhaps the signaling of a new era for them. And of course, maybe I think if you're a player in this league, I'm sure you have an unreal competitive radar, and they're probably looking at this as the first, right? There's a number of titles to still be won throughout 2022 if you're an NWSL side. So I imagine that they may be looking at this as the first. But overall thoughts, I think, on the Challenge Cup as a whole, Lisa, what did you think about it? What did you think about the Courage coming out as winners on top? Let's sort of give some overall thoughts here to kind of close things out.
I'm surprised, honestly. When we did our preview of Challenge Cup in early March, we weren't sure what North Carolina was going to bring because they had lost really big pieces in the offseason in Jess McDonald up top, Lynn Williams, Jess McDonald, Sam Ewis in the midfield. There was just a number of players that had been rotated through, and then Casey Murphy being injured. It wasn't that expected for North Carolina to go on and win this Challenge Cup. But the fact that they did, I think, is very telling of their offseason work, what they did in the season, the fact that Sean Nance came in, didn't change up a system in a box midfield and the two strikers in the 4-2-2-2, and that he kept things consistent. I was pleased to see that. It's funny. I think it's gives me a chuckle that two teams out of the East region made it to the Challenge Cup final. And that's really how it came down. The Challenge Cup is very different than the regular season. I don't think this is indicative of what we're going to see throughout the regular season. I think more changes will come. Maybe we'll see a bit of a deeper bench from North Carolina throughout this regular season. But overall, a good tournament, a long tournament. I'd appreciate a little less overlap moving forward. But I think it's a good chance. I mean, now that the players win a purse and they have cash coming out of this as champions, that's a better incentive. And that's what these players deserve, to be able to play not just for – their crest and to get a trophy and win, but a little bit of cash money.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I love a surprise. It feels like yesterday when we were just starting to cover the beginning of this Challenge Cup, making picks for teams who are going to come out of their respective divisions or picks for teams who are going to lift this cup. I remember being high on OL Reign and thinking that they were going to come and lift this cup. And obviously the Spirit were contenders as defending NWSL champions, and they were high on our list as well. But I love a good surprise, and I love to hop on these episodes and these segments and get a chance to talk about that. So congratulations to the North Carolina Courage, I think, on surprising maybe not themselves, but maybe perhaps many others around them. But there is a regular season that is going to continue for both of these teams. I think for me, Lisa, I enjoyed the Challenge Cup. I think it's a really good idea that needs to continue to evolve. We have seen now three different iterations of a Challenge Cup. We saw a Challenge Cup in 2020 in place of a season due to the pandemic out in Utah. And then in 2021, we saw teams divided up into two groups going head to head, ending up with two finalists. And now here in the third edition, we saw 12 clubs divided up over three groups with a final four for semifinalists and then two teams going head to head. And also the introduction of some overlap with the regular season. So I think in year 2023, I would love to see some more involvement of the Challenge Cup. My only hope is that along with seeing something like added bonus prizes or money for the players in this one, that we also get to take into consideration and see some other areas in which we can improve this competition for the players on the pitch and the overall product on the screen. And we're going to leave it with that. Thank you all so much for listening to Attacking Third. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe to us at YouTube. Visit youtube.com/Attacking Third. If you've got questions for us, guess what? You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question and we'll answer it. And we'll be back Sunday for our regular season recap. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.